Up to this point, but I'll read these first 13 verses and hopefully say some things about them. Everybody knows this verse of Scripture. It's been quoted so many times. I'm sure you've quoted it yourself. Man, born of a woman, is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And doest thou open thine eyes upon such a one and bring me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? As the waters fell from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep. O that thou wouldst hide me in the grave, that would keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldst appoint me a set time, and remember me. Job, the last person to talk to Job was a fellow named Zophar. And he told Job, he said, Job, if you put your sin away from you, if you would, you'd be like a new child, you'd be like a new morning if you put your sin away. God would bless you. He said, you'd be just like a brand new child, be like a new day. It would be a wonderful thing for you if you just put your sin away. Well, Job started answering him back in chapter 9. And so it's been going on here now. Job's answering him. And so he turns his eyes from his three friends and he's talking to God. He's talking to his Maker. He's talking to his Savior. He's talking to his Redeemer, his God. And this whole chapter, as you look at it, it's just like a loud, deep wail. It's like a mournful, mournful wail coming from this man. A mournful cry. And it's a mournful cry to God, to his God. And he makes an appeal. And he complains about his condition, man's condition. And then he begins to talk to the Lord here. And he's been honest, and that's one thing I know that God will do with a man when he saves him. He makes him an honest man. Old Barnard used to say, honest men don't go to hell. And God will make a man honest. He'll make, and you know where he'll be honest before he will any place else? Before God Almighty. I mean, he'll be honest there. He'll be honest there. And Job's being honest. Job just expressing his heart. Job knows what's going on in life. He had done lost everything. He had done lost everything. And no wonder he could say, man, man that is born of a woman, frail, fragile. God calls her the weakest vessel, the weaker vessel. And he said, a frail, fragile woman. He said, I'm born of a woman. Man that's born of a woman. You know what? He just got a few days. Just a very few days. Just a very few days. You know, it seems like January the 1st was just a few days ago. And here we are coming up on July. Now, how did that happen? Where does this time go? When it talks about a few days, we understand that our life is as a few days. And I mean just a very, very few days. You know, we was talking about a young man, 40 years old. He got an awful diagnosis. He may last 2 years. He may last 2 years. Got 2 children. Got a wife. Got a mother. Got a daddy. Got a sister. And he's been for just a few days. And his days are full of trouble now. And I tell you what, and here's the thing, full of trouble. I know so many men over the years and so many people that I used to tell people all the time, if I've ever had a trial, I didn't know it. And I really didn't, because God was so merciful to me. But then you start looking back over your life and you realize that yes, you have had some troubles. You've had troubles with your children, had troubles in your home, had troubles with sickness, had troubles with death. And I tell you, we must admit that man's life is full of troubles on this earth. Some have more, some have less. But yourself, all you got to do is think about yourself. How's it been with you upon the earth? How back, as far back as you can remember. And some of you can go back a long way. Go back as far as you can remember. How's it been with you? How many have you buried? How many funeral homes have you been to? How many tears have you shed? How many times have your children kept you awake at night? How many times have you took somebody that you loved, I mean loved, took them and put them away and walked away and left them in the ground? And I tell you, how many hopes have you had? How many dreams have you had that have not been realized in this world? How many times have you said, this trouble that I'm going through right now is my own doing. I was the one that caused this trouble to come upon me. But if I'm saved from it, God's going to have to be the one to save me. God Himself said, call upon me in the day of thy trouble, and I'll hear you. I'll hear you. And I tell you, and I know this, that pain is universal. There's no place on this planet where you can go where there's not pain. I mean, even beasts, cows, dogs, horses, all kinds of animals, they get sick. And they have troubles. And they have pain. I had 2 cows that had cancer. And they had cancer so bad that it stunk. Had to put them down. Had I bought a horse, got a horse one time in the last 3 days and died of a heart attack. Laid down and died. You tell me dogs have, yes, dogs and cats and everything has pain. And nobody likes pain. If you can get a pill for your pain, get it. I'm serious, I'm not trying to be facetious. If you got a lot of pain and you can take something to ease your pain, please do it. But I tell you what, but how many, no matter how much affliction, how many turn to God for help? That's what Job does. He turns to God. That's what David did. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ Himself even did. He, through many tears, he called on God. Many tears. He went to him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Many tears. He said, my soul is troubled, even unto death. So our Lord Jesus Christ, He knew what trouble was. He knew what it was to be acquainted with grief. And that's why it's so blessed thing to know that He can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He ain't never took a step that our Lord Jesus Christ ain't took a step with us. We ain't never felt the pain that He didn't feel. We ain't never had a burden that He didn't already bear. We've never shed a tear that He hasn't already shed. So I tell you what, the only place we got to turn to when we're in trouble or when we're afflicted is to the Lord Himself. Is there a better place to turn? Oh my. And then look what He says. Look what He says here. He comes forth like a flower. He comes forth like a flower. I remember I was preaching a funeral and I was using these verses of Scripture. Said that's how frail life is, like a flower. Like a flower. And a man got really upset. Got really angry about it. Got real angry about it. But he comes forth like a flower. And then he's cut down. Shirley went yesterday and cut a bunch of flowers down and brought them in the house.
because they're so pretty. She said, brought them in the house because they're so pretty. And we got this hibiscus, this tropical hibiscus, and it has these great big beautiful red blooms on it. And I mean, they bloom, they're real big. But you know how long they last? One day. They bloom one day, and the next day, they wither away, and you got to pull them off. He said, that's what we are. Huh? We're just beautiful. Oh, what a flower. Pretty flower, blooming flower, glorious flower. And then God comes along. He said, I'm going to show you what kind of flower you are. Oh, and then he's cut down. He says he's a flower. He didn't say he's an oak. Didn't say he's a great big maple. Didn't say he was like a cedar of Lebanon. Do you have any idea what those cedars of Lebanon were like? God calls mentioned them over and over again. They must have really been something. But he don't call you an oak. He don't call you a maple. He don't call you a great big beautiful cedar. He said a flower. A flower. And then the wind comes along on that flower. The heat comes down on that flower. Storms come along and destroy them flowers. I love pines, and I know some of you love pines. But I tell you what, when it rains and really pours down on them, down they go. They just tears them all up. Tears them all up. Huh? And he says, then the storms come along and they die. They die. And then look what else he says. He says, and not only that, but he flees also. He said, this is how, he said, man, this is just how few he fairly is. He's a few days. He's like a flower. Cut it down. Flees as a shadow. Everything about him is just pitiful. And as a shadow. Now let me ask you something. What has less substance than a shadow? What has less? Can a shadow hurt you? Can a shadow have any substance to it? There's less substance. You know, you can't have a shadow without the sun being behind you. And you can't have a shadow, so when you're looking at a shadow, you're looking at something that absolutely has nothing to it. And that's what he says, man, just like a shadow. And when the shadow goes, sun gets straight up. And you're not the sun, you don't have no more shadow. It's gone. It's gone. And that's one thing about the Scriptures. You know, Christ is the shadow of things to come. Over in Hebrews, and He is the shadow of things to come. But not the substance. And when the substance comes, there's no more need of a shadow. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when He comes, He was the substance of all the types and shadows that's in this world. And our Lord Jesus Christ, He's not like a shadow. He has got some substance for us. He is everything to us. And I tell you what, and you know He flees like a shadow. A vapor is something. You see vapor. This morning you can see the vapor coming off the lake. But what is a shadow? Nothing. It continueth not. And then look what He says. In verse 3 and 4, He said, do you open your eyes upon such a one? Do you look at somebody like me? Why in the world are you looking on me? I ain't nothing. I know I'm not nothing. So why are you opening your eyes on me? Are you going to bring me into judgment with you? I can't bear the judgment. In myself, I can't. Lord, I hope I'm glad you look at me. I want you to see me. But don't bring me into judgment. Please don't bring me into judgment. You don't bring me into judgment, I can't deal with you in judgment. I gotta have somebody else to deal with me in judgment. I gotta have somebody else to bear my judgment. And then look what he says here in verse 4. He talks about his ancestors. About his ancestors. He said, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. What he's saying is, if my mother was unclean, my father was unclean,
How in the world can they bring anything clean out of themselves? They was born sinners. They lived as sinners. They was weak. They was frail. They was unclean. And he says, so look out, I'm not a clean thing. My parents were unclean, so how can I be unclean? And because our parents were sinners, and I tell you, I know mine was, and I know I am. Because of our parents were sinners, that's not justification for our own sinfulness. You know, a man he can't look at his dad and say, I'm a sinner because my daddy was a sinner. I mean, we're going to face God for our own sin. When, you know, God judges us for our own sin, He looks at us and our sin. He's not going to go back and deal with me over what my father did. He's going to deal with me over what I did. You know, it's like somebody that commits murder, and he says, well, my daddy was a murderer, so I'm a murderer, so listen, I can justify myself because I've done that. Well, you reckon that the law is going to let him get by because he murdered somebody, and he said, I've done it because my daddy was a murderer too? I'm just following his footsteps? No, of course not. And I tell you what, here's the thing about it. Scott used to say it like this. He said, people are born confused because their mama's confused and their daddy was confused. That's why their people are so confused. But I tell you, we cannot look at our parents and say, I am what I am because of what my daddy was. I am what I am because of me and what I've done. And that's the thing about it. Bless God that our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I wake up sometimes and I've told you this before. I wake up sometimes and everything I ever done from the time I was 9 or 10 years old till I was 23, 24, just my sins, just all this awful, they just keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. But you know what I say? I say, Lord, said, you told me that you sent your son to put away all of my sin by the sacrifice of yourself. You told me that you would not remember our sins against us anymore. That you said you'd cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. You'd blow them out as a thick cloud. So I don't care how many sins come up against you. All you can say is, God, you said you wouldn't remember me. I may remember them, but you won't. That's what David meant. He said, my sin's always before me, but at the same time, you read it tonight. He's my light, He's my salvation, He's my strength. Wouldn't it be awful to have these sins come to your mind and then you couldn't do anything about them? Wouldn't it be awful to remember things you said and you done and you couldn't do nothing about them? I tell you what, we can do this. We have this assurance, and I mean we got it, that God already put away all of our sin. And He done it with the blood of His blessed Son. Huh? And I tell you, I don't care how sinful a man is. If Christ died for him, all his sins are gone. All of them. And I tell you, here's the thing about it. Now, all of my future sins and your future sins has already been put away. All of our sins were future when Christ died. And oh my, then look what he goes on to say. I thank God that we've got a Savior. That yeah, we come out of unclean parents. But oh my, God said, what God has cleansed, call not thou common nor unclean. The blood of Christ cleanses from all sin. David said, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Oh my. Ain't you grateful that God don't hold you accountable for something somebody else did? In yourself, that He held you accountable in His blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then look what He said here in verse 5. Seeing His days are determined, the number of His months are with thee, thou hast appointed His bounds that He cannot pass. Now what in the world is He talking about here? Job didn't think his life was a thing of chance. No. You know what he said? He didn't think it was a law, a resistless law that couldn't be, that he couldn't have no power over. But he knew that his life
was a God-determined life that every day that he lived, God determined it. Ain't that what he says here? God, you've determined, his days are determined. Every day you live, it's already determined how many days you're going to live. Do you know that? Ain't that something? And listen, he goes on here to say, the number of his months are with you. Every how many months he's going to live, they're with you. You set an habitation. You set the bounds of how far he'll live, how far he'll go, and what he'll do. And when those days are gone, when those bounds are over, then that man is leaving this world. And he said, I'm in God's hands. You've determined everything about me before I ever was. Huh? Oh, my. Oh, he came into being by God's purpose. And we came into being by God's purpose. We'll live by God's purpose for a set time that's settled and it's unchangeable. So many days, so many months, and no more. And thank God we don't know the boundaries. We don't know the boundaries. But I tell you what, everybody's got a boundary. And when you get to that boundary, that's it. Dear man told me this morning, he said, you know, when I was in the hospital and he was very sick, he said, I thought the Lord fixed to take me home. I really did. He said, now sometimes I wish he had. But oh no. I tell you, ain't you thankful? I'm thankful that I don't know the number of my days. You know, a doctor can say you got this amount of time or you got that amount of time. But they're just telling you what God's already knew. They're just telling you what God's already knew. There's nothing happens to anybody in this world, especially God's elect, that God didn't order for. Nothing. And I find great, great comfort and assurance in that, not only for myself, but for my brothers and sisters and what they go through. I really do. And then look what he says in verse 6. Because of our relationship to our fathers, our own sinful, our days are limited. And then look what he says here. He said, O Lord, turn from him, seeing that you've already set my days, you've numbered my months, you've set my boundaries, I can't go past that. Turn from him, that he may rest. Let him have some rest in this world. Let him have some comfort in this world. Oh, let him cease from this worry and this pain and this few days of full troubles. And then look what he says, till he accomplishes days like a hireling. He says, you know what it is to, all of you have worked. Some of you still work. But all of you have worked and made a living. And you get up in the morning and you're a hireling. You're a hireling. You worked every day, and you're a hireling. And you can't wait until, if it's got off at 3:30, you said, boy, it's time to quit. Time to go home. And that's what Job said. Lord said, let my days be as a hireling. Said, I'm just like a servant. I'm a hireling. And I want to get to the end of the day. And I want to have rest when I get to the end of that day. I want to have some rest. That's what he says. Turn from him. I come from imperfect parents. So turn away. And oh Lord, let me have some rest. You set my bounds. I can't go behind it. Oh my. Till I shall accomplish my time will be just like a hireling and I'll get to the end of my day one of these days. But I tell you what. You know, when we come to the end of this thing, when it's all said and done, it's not a wise thing to talk to God like this, but I do know this. Our lives influences other people while we live. Our lives influence other people while we live. Our conduct touches other people. You know, we just, when a man dies, even when he dies, his influence is going to live on. How many people do we know that their influence lives on and on and on and on?
And so what we do and how we act in this world, no matter who our parents are, no matter God keeping His eye on us, setting the limits of our day, we have an influence on people for good or bad. And when we leave this world, we're going to leave some influence behind. Our lives are going to influence our children. We're going to influence one another. We're going to leave behind wonderful memories or not so good memories. But I do know this. I know this, that I won't... When God's watching us, He said, Lord, You see me. You see me. You watch me. You set my times. You set my appointments. You set my days. So Lord, while I'm here, let my life turn from me. Let my life be some kind of a good influence on the people and leave something behind besides a bad name. Huh? Oh my. And I tell you, God, listen, I think God keeps His eye on us, and I'm glad He does. He said He numbers the hairs on our head. And then look what He says. And this is as certain as the sun coming up in the morning. He said in verse 7, He's talking about the certainty of leaving this world. For there is hope of a tree. If it be cut down, that it'll sprout again, and that the tender branches thereof will cease. Cut down a tree, and after a while, start sprouting. It'll start sprouting. And then He goes on to say this. And He says, though the tree, to him death was as certain as the death of a tree, being cut down, diseased or old age. He says, yea, the root thereof is old. It's an old, old, old tree. And the stock thereof die in the ground. And then He says this. Yet just a little bit of water. A little bit of water, you know what it'll do? It'll cause it to bud. You know, a little old branch will come up from it. It'll come out of it. And what He's saying was, He said, you know, you set my boughs just like a tree. And I'm going to be cut down just like a tree. I'm going to be old. I'm going to go away. And then He says, death to him was like the water drying up. In verse 10. But man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost. And he fails as the water, as the sea, and the flood dries up. He said, I'm just dry up like the water. Just dry up like the sea. Dry up like the Euphrates in the Nile. And then look what He says. And this is something that is so final. So final. There's a place over in Job that says, you know, a man goes away and he never comes home again. Never comes home again. And He says this, so man lieth down and riseth not. He lays down. He dies. But there's more hope of a tree than him. And he gives up the ghost. And then here's what a question. Where is he? Look what He asked down there in verse 14. If a man die, shall he live? Will he live? If he dies, will he live again? And no, He said, there's more hope of a tree than for a man. More hope of a tree. The man lies down, he's not going to rise up again. Not going to rise up again. And then what he's saying, until the heavens be no more. Now what He's saying here, He said, I'm going to stay in the ground until God takes this time ceases to be, and the heavens cease to be, until there's a new heaven and a new earth. I'm going to stay right where I am until that new heaven, new earth. That's where I'm going to stay until God calls me out of there. You know, there's no second chances. There's no more opportunities. As a tree falls, so shall it lay. There's no coming back to our homes. No coming back to our businesses. No coming back to pleasure. No coming back to worship till the heavens be no more. And I tell you what, we're walking a path right now that we'll never, ever walk again. Never walk again. And then He says to God, He said, look what He says in verse 13. Lord, hide me in the grave. Just hide me. That's a good place to be hid. That Thou wouldest keep me secret Oh my. Until your wrath be past. And that you would appoint me a set time. A time that I would come out of the grave. That I wouldn't be in this grave anymore. And listen to this. That you would appoint me a set time. And listen, Lord, remember me. Remember me. Like that thief on the cross. Lord, remember me. Remember me. Please remember me. I'm born of a woman. I'm a few days and my life's full of trouble. Please remember me. You got my time set for me? Lord, when I'm in that grave, remember me. When the heavens are done away with, remember me. Our Father, oh, our Lord, our God, our Savior, our Redeemer. O Jesus, Thou lover of our souls. All our righteousness, all our plea, all our hope, all our strength, all our salvation, all our light, everything that we need, You give us. And we thank You for that. And Lord, I thank You that we don't know our boundaries. We don't know what the future holds. And I'm so thankful that I don't know how long I'll live. I don't know how long anybody else will. But Lord, You know. You've got a time set for every one of us. You've got a day set for us. You've got a boundary set for us. And oh Lord, I thank You for that. I thank You that we don't know. And as long as You let us live, as long as You give us health, as long as You give us strength, as long as You keep us in our sound mind, Lord, we want to worship You. We want to honor You. We want to glorify You. And we want to be a blessing to Your dear people while we live on this earth. Whatever else we may do, Lord, let us be a blessing. Let us be an encouragement. Let us be a help and a hope to our dear, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. We ask these things in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Good night. God bless you. Lord willing.